WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Every American household would receive a tax cut on the first $250,000 of their income. But once again, the leaders across the aisle are saying no. They want to hold these middle-class tax cuts hostage until they get an additional tax cut for the wealthiest 2% of Americans. And we simply can't afford that.
President Obama yesterday blasted Senate Republicans for blocking his tax plan, even as there was a rare ray of bipartisanship in that chamber over the president's long-stalled jobs and lending bill. Isaac Davey Aronson here in for Brian Lehrer, and while we've been wrapped up in primary election fever and looking ahead to the November elections, governance has still been happening in Washington, or at least trying desperately to happen. And Republicans at least seem to feel they've got an election season winner in a legislative battle on their favorite turf, taxes. To illuminate what's going on behind the scenes in that battle and perhaps a few other things, we're joined by Jake Tapper, ABC News senior White House correspondent and proprietor of that network's Political Punch blog. Jake, welcome back to WNYC.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
To get started, will you remind us how we got here on this tax cuts debate? I mean, the Bush-era tax cuts are about to expire in just a few months, but Congress has had 10 years to figure this out, right?
Right. Well, first of all, one of the reasons that the Bush tax cuts are set to expire is because of the process that the Bush tax cuts went through at the time, which is the dreaded reconciliation process that Republicans were all up in arms about not long ago when Democrats were using it to get health care through the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So just for those people who follow Senate rules arcana, that's a little tidbit for you.
Well, who doesn't these days, really?
Right. And then so they're set to expire December 31st, and there is a big push by the White House to use this issue of the so-called middle-class tax cuts, that is, extending them for everyone who files their income taxes and makes less than $200,000 as an individual or $250,000 as a couple or family, to extend them, which would cost about $3.1 trillion over the next 10 years, while Republicans and some moderate to conservative Democrats want to continue all of the Bush tax cuts for everyone, including those who make over that amount. Now, as President Obama said yesterday in the clip you ran, they have changed their language a little bit, and they're now pointing out that even if you say make $400,000 a year, you still would get the tax cut on the $250,000 or the $200,000, depending on how you file. So the tax cuts would go to everybody. It's just that they wouldn't go beyond that for people who make more than $200,000, $250,000 a year.
And I want to open the phones to our listeners. Are you an individual who makes more than $200,000 or part of a couple that makes more than $250,000? Are you okay with your tax rate rising? And if not, why? How will the higher tax rate affect you? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment on the Brian Lehrer Show page at WNYC.org. We're speaking with Jake Tapper. And Jake, allow me a moment of naivete here. I mean, given that there are such worries about growing deficits, as well as about doing anything that would hurt economic growth, President Obama's proposal seems like a pretty neat compromise. Extend tax cuts for the vast majority of Americans, but let them rise a bit on the wealthiest. And Obama's been talking about this plan for a long time. Is this another case in which the White House and Democrats were surprised by Republican unwillingness to compromise, or did they see this battle coming?
I think they've relished this battle because it allows them to be on the side of, first of all, a majority of Americans, according to polls, which support extending them for want of a better term, I'll say middle-class Americans. And in addition, that is, you know, roughly 97% of wage earners that would be covered under that. So it definitely puts them in the majority point of view, and it allows them to paint Republicans as tools of the rich, people who only want to help the rich. Now, because the way that President Obama has framed this is that the Republicans, through Senate rules and procedures, because they have 41 seats, they're able to block things and hold things up, that they are holding the middle-class tax cuts hostage, demanding that the tax cuts for wealthier Americans also be included. Now, there are a number of Democrats in the Senate who also support that. Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska, Evan Bayh of Indiana, Joe Lieberman, and some others, talking about how they support it as well, because they say at a time of recession, you should not raise anybody's taxes. And some people say, some argue that because this is, well, if you include all of the tax cuts, it's roughly $3.7 trillion over 10
trillion,
years.
Right, trillion, yeah.
Yeah, trillion. Sorry about that. I'm old enough that I remember when a billion of dollars was a lot
right,
of money.
Billion, trillion, it all adds up to real money.
I have to recalibrate my head. But in addition to that, it would cost all that much. The people are saying that's essentially taking out $3.9 trillion out of people's pockets, which it is, for the next 10 years. Now, here is one fundamental area of dishonesty by both parties. Nobody talks about the fact. President Obama says this is that the ones for the wealthy, the tax cuts extending them for the wealthy would cost $700 billion over the next 10 years, and that's true, and he argues that there's better things to do with that money. Now, here's the thing that nobody talks about, is that this is almost $4 trillion in deficit spending. And Democrats and others criticized President Bush back in 2001 and 2003 for passing these tax cuts without offsetting them with spending cuts or some way to pay for them, quote-unquote pay for them. And rightly so, they were not paid for. But now Democrats are proposing doing the same thing, and it's really just haggling over the numbers, whether we're talking about $3.1 trillion in deficit spending over the next 10 years, or $3.8 trillion.
So everyone's advocating deficit spending. It's a matter of how much deficit spending.
Right, exactly. And the way that President Obama justifies this is he says in the last 10 years, the wages, real wages, went down for individuals. In other words, prices went up and wages did not go up enough for middle-class Americans so that their salaries are worth less, whereas for the wealthiest Americans, there was just growth. And that's how he justifies it. But in any case, because after the midterm elections, we're about to have a huge conversation about the budget and budget deficits, people should keep in mind everybody is proposing huge deficit spending right now.
Let's take a call. Bob in Pound Ridge, thanks for calling in. And tell us what your family's economic situation is and how you feel about the possible expiration of the tax cuts.
We would definitely be impacted by an increase in tax rates. My accountant says the Bush tax cuts save us about $30,000 a year, but I don't recall ever asking for the tax cut. I'm concerned about the deficit. I'm totally at peace with the idea that rates would go up. I understood that when I voted for Barack Obama when he ran, that he was going to raise taxes on people in my tax bracket, and I voted for him anyway.
And so, and according to your accountant, I mean, you think that if these tax cuts expire, you could wind up paying what, about $30,000 more per year in taxes?
That's what he tells me. Yes.
Interesting. Well, Bob, thanks very much for your call. Jake Tapper of ABC News. You know, of all people, yesterday speaking in New York, former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan came out in favor of letting, I believe, all the tax cuts expire because he finds the deficit so scary. And, of course, House Minority Leader John Boehner famously blinked recently in an interview saying he'd support the president's plan if it were his only option. Are there any signs of Republican disarray on this?
Well, here's the thing about what Boehner said. Boehner obviously made the case for all of the tax cuts being extended, but when Bob Schieffer on CBS's Face the Nation kept pressing him on it, what if it was just an up or down vote on the middle class tax cuts? Boehner said, well, you know, I'd vote for something over nothing, but that's not what I want, which is when you look down at what happens in the House and how the majority completely runs the place and the minority is essentially powerless, very possible that Speaker Pelosi would just have middle-class tax cuts, and John Boehner would then either be forced to vote for them or against them, and he said he would vote for them. So Boehner went out on a limb to say that, and he turned around and saw that a lot of other Republicans were sawing the limb off the tree, including Eric Cantor, the minority whip, and Mitch McConnell, who were saying, no, that's not what we're going to do. That's not what we want. But there is the potential for compromise. I think essentially if that were to pass the House, if that were to be introduced in the House, that's what would pass. The problem is the Senate, because right now, you need 60 votes to do anything in the Senate these days. And right now there are not 60 votes for anything, for just the Bush tax cuts, or for all of them, or for just the middle ones. The majority is probably just for the middle ones, but you need 60 votes.
You know, I've heard, as a political issue, I've heard that at least some Democrats are hearing from their pollsters and their PR folks, et cetera, that there's no position they can take on this issue that's a winner, that any time Democrats use the word taxes, they lose and they should just run away from it, which seems to be what some at least are doing. Have you heard that? Does it sound like something Democrats might be thinking?
I mean, I think that whenever I think the issue is problematic for both Republicans and Democrats in some ways, but polls indicate that it's positive for Democrats, that this is a winning issue if they're able to explain the issue, if they're able to say Republicans are holding middle-class tax cuts hostage so that millionaires can get them, and then millionaires will get an average tax cut of $100,000. That's according to polls, compelling. But again, I would the one thing that I find amazing in this debate is that with the exception of individuals like Alan Greenspan and Peter Orszag, President Obama's former budget chairman, the director of the Office of Management and Budget, who's no longer with the administration, he wrote an op-ed in the New York Times a few weeks ago in which he said that he thought the middle-class tax cut should be extended for 2 years. If they needed to pass the tax cuts on the wealthy, the extensions on those tax cuts, as a way of getting that for 2 years, then so be it. That was a compromise he thought should be made, which went against what President Obama is saying. But then Orszag said all of the tax cuts for the middle class as well need to disappear in 2 years because it is too big a problem when it comes to the long-term deficits. And there are basically no public officials saying that we can't afford these tax cuts, even for the people who make $70,000 a year. We can't afford them. And that is what I find the most remarkable thing about this debate, because it is so wildly irresponsible. Because even if you support them, you should tell the American people they're going to cost $3 to $4 trillion, depending on which platform you support.
And of course, as we heard from our caller earlier, I mean, he obviously was in a very good financial position, saying that because of the deficits, that he was willing to take that hit. We don't know how many people feel that way in all tax brackets, of course.
But you know something, if I could just interject for 1 second.
Yeah.
Nobody has said in the Obama administration or the Democrats in Congress, nobody has said that, let's say, if we're just talking about the $700 billion for the wealthiest Americans, those tax cuts, nobody said those and that money now returned to the federal coffers, if the tax cuts on the wealthy expire at the end of the year, that money will go to spend down the deficit. Nobody's saying that. President Obama has said there are better ways to spend that money than to give tax cuts to a bunch of millionaires. That's not saying that money needs to go to reduce the debt. That he's saying something else. Now, it's possible that maybe it would go to reduce the debt, but maybe it would go to something else. This is a president who believes in a very activist government, whether you like it or not, and a lot of people do in New York City, and it's possible that he would find other uses for that money.
Let's take another call. Chris is calling from Manhattan. Chris, welcome to WNYC.
Yeah, I am another caller in the higher income who would definitely be affected, but has always been furious about the tax cuts. Years ago, when Bush put them in, we got a refund check from the government, because I guess it was mid-year, and I said, what the heck is this? And it was $25,000. You know,
wow.
Just a gift from President Bush. And,
of course, I believe his argument was that it was your money. Right?
That's ridiculous. We all have to contribute to have the country run. You know, it's in our interest to pay for all sorts of things that our government pays for.
So you would be in favor
of two wars. Including two wars that were kept offline during the Bush administration. They didn't budget for them. They were supplemental, Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right, and I was sorry to have any government money going to those, but, you know.
So I take it you would be in favor of these.
And now I have to say I am in favor of keeping them for lower-income people as a stimulus, and I think we should face the fact that it's spent.
Chris, thanks very much for your call. Jake Tapper of ABC News, are we looking at that? Who's going to, in terms of this, you know, political battle between the Democrats and the Republicans in Washington? Are we looking at who's going to blink first on this? And do you have any predictions of who is going to blink first?
I don't. I think it's there have been talks of compromise, and the administration has refused to answer. Questions about, for instance, considering the president talks about funding tax cuts for a bunch of millionaires, but some of these tax cuts would go to people making $250,000 a year, $300,000 a year, et cetera. There has been a question of whether or not the administration, in that rhetoric, is opening the door to a compromise of extend all the tax cuts for people under 250, extend them whole or partially for people who make, you know, for the first $1 million of income, and then above $1 million, get rid of them. That's completely speculation, but it is one compromise that people are talking about out there. The president's position is everybody agrees on the middle class tax cuts. Let's pass that, and then after that, we can talk about doing whatever with people who make over that. I feel like the White House and Democrats in the House feel pretty confident in their position. The problem, as always, is that the problem for the Democrats is that there are a number of Democrats who don't feel that way. And Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, has said, his office has said they're going to bring this up in the next couple weeks, so we'll see what happens. I have no prediction as to who thinks they're going to blink, as to who might blink first. There is a deadline here. If nobody blinks, they all expire at the end of the year, and there are a lot of economists who feel like that would be very bad for the economy because of all the people who would be hit with higher taxes and, in the middle of a recession.
And then Democrats and Republicans can blame each other for that happening. Isaac Davey Aronson in for Brian Lehrer here on WNYC. Let's take a caller from somebody with a slightly different view. Mike in Newark, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hello.
Hi, what do you think?
I think, unlike your other two callers, I'm not a masochist. I don't want my money going to Washington. The way to reduce the deficit is to grow the economy and cut spending. Neither of those are going to happen. I want to hold on to my money. Mine will go up $3,000. Maybe that's not a lot to the Manhattan and Pound Ridge people. If they're so generous, they can pay their more and more and more. I'm holding on to my money.
Well, Mike, let me ask you, if the tax cuts are extended and you keep that money, what do you think you might do with that money that would stimulate the economy?
Oh, spend it on the luxuries and the finer things in life that I love so much. Art, good wine. I collect rare orchids.
All right. Well, thanks very much for calling, Mike, in Newark. And if these tax cuts do get extended, the rare orchid economy will get a good boost.
I know somebody needs to call Susan Orlean.
Before we let you go, Jake Tapper, ABC News, political punch blogger, I want to touch on one other issue that is certainly related to the economy, which is that yesterday you had the scoop that the White House is appointing Elizabeth Warren, the chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel on the TARP bailout, who's a favorite, of course, of liberals, to lead the new Consumer Financial Protection Agency, to a kind of interim position setting up that agency. Tell us about that.
I should say, I was on this show, I think a week or two ago, talking about this, and at the time, it seemed that the White House was definitely exploring a role for Elizabeth Warren, the Harvard Law professor, who first came up with the idea for a Consumer Financial Protection Agency. She wrote about it in an essay in 2007. But there was some reluctance and some within the White House, and people weren't sure whether she was up to the task of creating this whole new federal agency. But obviously, those fears have been put aside, and what President Obama is going to announce this week, so I would suppose tomorrow, is that she will be appointed to be a special assistant to the president and a special counselor to Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, and she will, you know, create this new federal agency. She'll take the lead in that. What this allows President Obama to do is avoid a confirmation battle. And in that confirmation battle, A, it's unclear that she would be able to be confirmed, and B, she would have to be quiet during the confirmation battle, which is not what they want. They want Elizabeth Warren out there advocating for consumers, talking about this new agency that will protect the American people from credit card fraud, from mortgage fraud, et cetera. And so they are bypassing the normal advise and consent process, and obviously there are a lot of Republicans in the Chamber of Commerce and others who are upset at this, saying that they're bypassing the Constitution. And then there are a lot of Democrats and progressives who are very happy and very delighted that Elizabeth Warren is going to be given this role. It's also interesting that in her role as the overseer, the congressional overseer of the Wall Street Bailout Funds, or TARP, she is issuing a report today that is, as typical for Elizabeth Warren, fairly critical of TARP and how it's been spent and the oversight of that. So they are getting, the administration is getting a very independent voice, and I think that announcement will be made tomorrow.
Now, this is just an interesting issue, and I know this is a bit of sort of inside political baseball, but there are, of course, some, and maybe we just don't know enough about it yet, but there are, of course, some liberal activists, bloggers, who are a little bit cool on this decision. I think Matt Iglesias yesterday tweeted, with Warren, Obama showing real innovation in developing odd, satisfying-to-nobody compromises. And so I obviously the right is distrustful that what he's doing is taking a backdoor way into putting her in charge of this agency. It seems that some on the left are distrustful that he's avoiding it, going to have her set it up, and that maybe, though, in the end, she won't be the head of this agency.
Well, there are a couple of things there. First of all, I'm a big reader of Iglesias, and as well as a lot of other bloggers, but I'm not sure about his objections, but I know there are a lot of progressives who wanted a fight over Elizabeth Warren. They thought that it would reveal who in the Senate, especially the Republicans, but also some Democrats, doesn't believe in somebody being a strong advocate for consumers. So, and they thought it could be a good election issue for Democrats to run on. So there are those who wanted a fight on that. And then there's also the concern that, yes, she would be named to this position, the special assistant to the president and special advisor to Tim Geithner at the Treasury Department, but then ultimately she would not be put in charge of the organization. I think it's a little premature to worry about that, since we're talking about the agency not really up and running for another year and a half, probably at the end of 2011.
Well, Jake Tapper is ABC News senior White House correspondent and proprietor of that network's Political Punch blog. Jake, thanks for joining us again on WNYC.
Oh, of course. It's a pleasure. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Coming up, New York City's smoking ban may move outdoors. Great public health move, Big Brother overreach. We'll take your calls. Stay tuned.